Man, we've got a lot to break down tonight. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We'll be joined by the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, a little bit later on in the show, and you at 312-644-6767. Before we break down what happened Saturday night in Arizona and look ahead to Sunday's game in Tennessee, I want to play for you guys a little bit of what John Fox had to say earlier today when talking to the media specifically about the quarterback situation. Let's take a listen.
John, will Mitch play with the ones against the Titans?
Again, we haven't talked about that. Obviously, we're very, very early. We're not even in the preparation for the Titans yet. So we'll meet on that. We'll talk, and we'll keep you guys posted.
How about practice?
We don't practice till Wednesday, so yeah. We'll kind of figure out that tomorrow.
Is there a way to give Trubisky first-team reps without being in a front to Mike Glennon as the starter?
I think probably not. Like I said, we'll evaluate that and see where that goes.
You went back and watched Mitch's game the other night. What stood out to you?
We're talking about
Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah,
all right.
Ryan did not.
Yeah. I think we might have it. No. Anyways, I thought, again, he showed good toughness. I think he took a couple shots. They did a couple things different that we hadn't seen as far as protection. But I thought he showed good accuracy. Probably maybe a couple decisions that I like he probably changed. But, I thought all in all he did well.
So the door is open. Tom, what do you make from what you hear from John Fox right there?
Well, it's just, coach speak, really. There is no decisions made exactly how many reps a player is going to be given next Sunday against Tennessee. I think they're fortunate that if they want to use this dress rehearsal type talk, that it is a Sunday game at noon and they can start their game planning on Wednesday. The thing that I'm most interested in seeing is when they do come out and strategize a game plan for the opponent on Sunday, I want to see how Glennon does as much as I want to see Trubisky play again, because I think that's going to tell the story. And, Mitchell Trubisky's going to get his reps, but I need to see how Glennon reacts to a game plan that's put together by Dow Loggins and Dave Ragone, the quarterback coach, and then how he uses it come Sunday in the game. So I still have as much interest in to see how Glennon performs as how Trubisky's future is going to work out.
Jim, really interested in hearing your perspective on this, because you've been on both sides of this thing. You've been at one point the backup that people wanted to see ascend past the starter. You've been the starting quarterback. So you've been on both sides of this scenario. What do you make of what we heard from John Fox today, and based on the performances of both quarterbacks over the course of these first two preseason games, how do you react if you're the Bears?
Yeah, I still think there's a long way to go for Mitchell Trubisky. I had a great conversation with Dow Loggins down on the field, offensive coordinator of the Bears, before the game. They're happy with what Mitch has done, but it's still, he hasn't had exposure to everything, meaning every blitz he's going to see, the protections, the game planning that Tom mentioned. So I don't think anything's has changed at all. I think he's ahead of the curve. I think they're happy with where the process is at right now, but there's no reason to pull the plug on Mike Glennon, because even last game I said, hey, is anything game plan? No, they were just calling plays. I mean, they've got a script full of plays for both Mike Glennon and what Mitchell Trubisky is doing, but the game planning week to week is going to be far different than what it is right now. So to me, Glennon is the starting quarterback, and he will be the starting quarterback week one.
What do you need to see from Mike Glennon in this quote-unquote dress rehearsal? And really, the better way to phrase it, Tom, is this is the last real opportunity for the starting unit to play a game prior to the regular season.
To me, out of the quarterback position, I want to just see timing and accuracy. When I went back and I looked at the tape and I was watching the interception, when you look at the interception, the decision was right. He threw it behind the receiver and then gave the defensive back an opportunity to close the distance and make the interception. Now, if Glennon goes out there and throws the ball in front of the receiver and allows him to run to the football, it's going to be a completion, a good decision, and a good throw. Now, when you're talking about game planning for an opponent, those things are repetitiously done in warm-ups, in pat and go, in 7-on-7, and in teamwork. So that same play, Glennon may get a chance to throw during the course of a preparation week 15 to 20 times. And so rather than having calling a game just by the seat of your pants in the preparation of a preseason game in week one and week two, now Glennon will see that play so many times that he's going to have a better understanding where that football has to be. So that's why Judgment Day is coming on Sunday, because he's going to understand the routes that they're going to call in certain portions of the field. The receivers are going to understand the routes that are going to be called, and then they're going to be able to see each other's the way they react to the play call more often than just hearing it in an instant and going out there and running it.
Jim, when you were up in the TV booth calling the game on Saturday night, you saw a Bears team that was playing around with the offensive line a little bit. The injury to Kyle Long forced the Bears to tweak some things on the line. Jordan Howard was the late scratch, didn't make the trip with the eye injury, back at practice today. But the fact that some key weapons weren't on the field, can you get a true gauge from that first team because of it?
Yeah, I do. I thought 2 weeks in a row the Bears have run the football extremely well. You know, certainly Tariq Cohen, him getting an opportunity there, he got the start in the game, and he was exciting from the get-go. But that's who the Bears want to be. Their identity, and we've said it all offseason, is run and play action. You know, the running game early, I thought, set up some play action passes later for Mike Glennon. You know, that deep in cut that was probably perfectly timed. From the first group receivers, I still thought they struggled to get off press man coverage. I think that has to get better, whether it's Kevin White, I think all of them need to get better from that standpoint. And maybe once Wheaton gets healthy, he's really the speed guy that maybe could have opened up some things for the receivers. But running the football, I thought, was extremely well. I thought Mike Glennon responded extremely well. Tom was right. He was late on the throw. I thought he was somewhat baited by Tyrann Mathieu on the interception. But I think overall, I think it was a good, you know, second outing for the first team offense.
It was interesting because in talking to Glennon right after the game, and this is before he had a chance to watch the video, he mentioned that that's simply a ball he should not have thrown.
Yeah, I agree, because technically Mathieu was a safety rotated down to that side. And when all things are equal, it wasn't a mirrored route principle, but you're normally going to throw away from the rotated down safety because it technically was his own coverage. So, you know, can you get it in there? Yeah, you probably could, but it's a hairy throw, so why chance it? Plus, you're going down to score, and you got to weigh the risks and rewards. Bottom line is the Bears should have had a field goal, and that's who they need to be. You know, so there's no sense forcing it. You're in the pay dirt area. Either take three or make a smarter decision, potentially give your team an opportunity to score a touchdown.
We saw a lot of Tariq Cohen in that game against the Arizona Ones, and he looked like he belonged. And we heard so much talk coming into training camp, guys, about how Tariq Cohen was merely a joker back, a guy that you would use kind of in these unique ways to create mismatches. I think, Tom, the thing that has impressed me is his ability to be a conventional running back as well, despite the fact that he's just 5'6".
I agree with you, Zach, but I also admire his vision, because if you look at a couple plays that he ran the other night that he really had success on, is he gets the flow of the defense going in such a direction because they're trying to overwhelm the point of attack. As soon as he sees a second level over pursuer, and then he knows that he's got the offensive lineman that is engaged in his block at the first level, he cuts it back with such immediacy that they can't readjust. They can't stop and get into a tackling position. So those are the types of concerns that are going to be in the minds of every defensive player that plays against them. Again, you know, just you have to refer back to people throughout your eras and time in the NFL. And when you think about how the defensive coaches talked to the players in preparation to play a guy like Barry Sanders, it was getting to the point fast, but don't over pursue and be out of position. And I see that's the struggle that defenses are going to have against Tariq Cohen, is trying to get to that point of attack. But once you over pursue by a step and have your feet crossed, he sees it and cuts it back. That's the danger zone for those guys at the second and third levels.
Jim, you would have loved this. There was one play where Tariq Cohen kind of bounced outside, had a huge gain on the ground, and then was rudely thrown out of bounds by the Cardinals. And their huge defensive tackle, Frosty Rucker, right? This is a guy you don't want to mess with, stands right over Cohen and stares him down. And Tariq pops back up, smiles, and goes right back into the huddle as if to show, hey, you can't hurt me. And I think that says a lot about his mentality heading into the NFL.
I do. I think he's fearless. I think he definitely wanted to show his toughness. There is no doubt about that. And that's what he's doing. He's sending a message, say, hey, I'll be here. I'll see you in 45 seconds once the clock starts winding down in terms of the time clock. And I think that's important to him, you know, because he is diminutive in stature, and everybody's always going to worry about, can he take the pounding? And he seems to be up for the challenge. And just like Tom said, there were a couple plays that there was a weak side blitz, and he beat the weak side defender, the blitzer, to the hole, meaning that guy's supposed to be the last line of defense to wall it off to stop the cutback, but he sees the hole and then accelerates. And I think Tom will mention this. Even on those outside zone runs, he's patient, and sometimes when those defensive linemen are working down the line of scrimmage as the offensive lineman, that hole is sometimes there and then it's not, because it gets washed out so quickly. But he hit it every single time because he got the ability to accelerate.
He was
very impressive to watch.
Sorry. Zach, when you were interviewing Tariq Cohen on the sideline, the thing that encouraged me most about one of his responses is the fact that Dal Loggins had faith in him to stand up when they said an outside blitz was coming from the right side. Stood up, had his protection responsibility, and the quarterback was able to get the ball downfield. That's what encourages me most about him, because you had all these question marks about, will he have the ability to pick up blitzes and his responsibility? He's not only going to be a nightmare in these defensive matchups, but if you do have to put him in there and you know what type of route you're going to run and he's going to have a blocking assignment, he's up to that task as well. And he talked about how glad he was that they showed faith in him.
Yeah, he's trying to show that he can do a little bit of everything out there on the football field and earn the trust of the coaching staff. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, the defense so far has been trending in the right direction. We'll find out what Tom Thayer and Jim Miller think about the performances over the first two games by the Bears defense. Plus, what do they do with Mitchell Trubisky going forward to make sure that he develops the way the Bears would like him to develop going forward? Let's take a timeout. More with Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, Zach Zabin with you, and you can join us at 312-644-6767 on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767 is our phone number. The voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, will join us a little bit later on in the show. We talked a lot about the offense in the first segment, but guys, the Bears defense has been very consistent over the first two preseason games. And Tom, what impressed me last week is the fact that you began to see some of the depth that the Bears have in the front seven. And remember, before the start of training camp, Ryan Pace said that front seven is the strength of the football team. So far, that's beginning to show.
Yeah, you know, two guys in particular played well. Jay Howard Jr. played well for himself, and Jonathan Bullard followed up a good first game, a really good week of practice, and had some really nice play before he got a little bit of a nick and ended up leaving the game. So I think the encouraging thing about the defense is make sure you have developed depth that can come in here and run the defense as efficiently as if you have the first team guys in there. You know, and it's still going to be about the rehabilitation of Danny Trevathan and how Pernell McPhee, you know, starts or gets an opportunity to play in the regular season. Leonard Floyd is playing really good. Willie Young is still active. Sam Acho is an active outside linebacker. So all the pieces are in place in the front seven to not only have a good first group and then have some depth behind them, but I still think the defensive backfield is going to be the telltale sign of success for this defense. And I was encouraged by the way Kyle Fuller played. I think he played well when he had a support from a defensive back position against the run, and he had some good coverage opportunities downfield. So that was encouraging to see. And then you're going to start seeing snippets of these other guys, whether it's Eddie Jackson, Deion Bush, Houston Carson was able to come in and play a little bit in the slot. So all these guys that are getting their opportunities because of nicks and injuries to other guys, they're showing well for themselves, and hopefully they'll make some difficult decisions for the defensive coaches.
Jim, we always hear that, you know, take the preseason with a grain of salt, that it's not a real indicator of what's to come when the regular season rolls around, and you especially hear it when things don't go well on either side of the ball. But based on the fact that the defense has looked good over the first two games, how much of it is realistic, do you think, that will transfer over into the regular season?
I think it will transfer over, because I think there's a lot of guys that are now familiar with what Vic Fangio wants to do, how he's going to call plays in certain situations. And I think it's still early to get the telltale sign, because they haven't lined up in terms of the secondary, their top guys. You know, I'll give Cooper a pass in this game because he's really just coming back from that hamstring. I'd like to see him and Amukamara out there together and Callahan in the slot. We have yet to see that. You know, even this game, it was more Cravon LeBlanc, who would be the second nickel. I thought he struggled when he had to go to the outside, but that's really not where he's going to play. So I think injury, and just guys that were out, I think somewhat affected that. I thought he got picked on a little bit in terms of the short, squatty receivers of the Cardinals, where they were getting those little out routes to his side because he was given too much cushion. But normally he's not going to be out there. So it's still early to tell, but the signs are encouraging. I'm with Tom. I thought Kyle Fuller played extremely well. Very aggressive, and you know we'll see what happens in terms of his roster spot because it's going to be interesting.
Great point that you guys both make, because John Fox today singled out Kyle Fuller for his performance in that game against the Cardinals. Another thing that I want to hit on, and both of you mentioned it, and we heard Jarrell Freeman when he was with us in Bourbonnais on Bears All Access talk about how it took him nearly the entire season last year to fully grasp what Vic Fangio wants as a defensive coordinator. And today, Quinton Dempsey, talking to the media, mentioned that, you know, it takes a little bit of time to understand exactly what Fangio wants. Can you kind of provide us some details, Tom, as to what Fangio is looking for from his players and why it's an adjustment, even from veteran players?
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Quinton Dempsey say that, because here's a guy with double-digit years of experience in the NFL, and you'd think at this time you would know all the schemes that the NFL has to offer. But I think he has to understand that the back four, the back five are going to support the front of the defense. And Vic likes versatility. He doesn't want to just line up with the same guys in the same spot over a certain period of time. They do a great job of evaluating the weak points up on the offensive line and the weakest of blockers. In, like, for example, the other night, they had Willie Young and Leonard Floyd rushing from one side, while they had Jonathan Bullard and Eddie Goldman rushing, as part of the defensive line package on one side against the offensive line. And that's what Vic Fangio wants to do, is he wants to have a versatile group up front where they can rush from anywhere. But now the defensive backs have to understand where the pressure of the rush is going to come from, and then be, and then have their landmarks according to the receivers that they're seeing. So it's never just one guy having one assignment against the player that he's going to face. It's one guy understanding the assignments of the other 10 guys on the defense, and then you look at the offensive personnel, you look at what hash they're on, you hear the cadence, how it's repetitiously being used, and then all those types of facts and figures fall into play. So, you know, Quinton Dempsey said a lot today in his press conference about he's finally feeling comfortable with the uses that Vic Fangio is going to put these guys through.
Yeah, and Jim, I don't know if you ever faced a Vic Fangio defense when you were a quarterback, but do you recall studying for some of his defenses? Well, and can you give us the viewpoint from a quarterback when you have to take on the looks that Tom just mentioned?
Well, I'll give you a case point. Yeah, like what Tom mentioned. Say a team like Arizona. You know, Bruce Arians is known for using that bunch set, or what we call, it's either bunch right, some people call it box right, where you've got the three receivers really stacked just outside the tackle. So let's say it's just a bunch right. You can still run plays out of it. You can run pass plays, but now it depends on the personnel grouping. Normally a defense, say, that is lining up against that bunch set,